Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Hallelujah. God is a good God, isn't he? God's so good. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'm excited. I'm glad to be born again. You know, I was just thinking about that. It might even been this morning, because whenever I drive to work, I'm always praising God. Yeah, I just, because I'm there by myself, and I can just do it however I want. Yeah. Amen? And I was just thinking, God, I'm almost sure it was today that I'm born again. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I'm going to heaven. I've got a place. Yeah. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yeah. Amen? And that's a good thing. Yes. Hallelujah. You should be excited about that all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you haven't thought about it for a while, think about it when you go home tonight. Amen. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Romans, the 13th chapter. We're going to start here tonight. Amen. I've got something here. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Chuck. I appreciate you speaking up. Amen. You know, you need to get excited about the Word. I know that we don't all the time, and I don't either, so I can't, you know, come down on anybody when they don't. But I'm telling you, whenever the Word is being spoken, we really need to latch on to it with everything we got. Amen? Because the times that we're living in right now are the absolute worst of times in the natural world. But they are the best of times in the spiritual world. Amen. And so we're going to kind of look at some of this stuff tonight. Amen. I just named this for the sake of putting it, you know, out there. I named it Take Your Place. Take Your Place. Take the place that God's ordained for you to be in. Amen. Take your place of authority. Glory to God. You know, if there is something that has been missing in the church for decades, if not centuries, is not knowing that we have authority in the earth. Amen. And we need to rise up and take back, because we've lost a lot. We really have. Amen. We've been, you know, asleep on a lot of different things. You know, I was thinking about one time that Brother Keith Butler said this. You know, he was talking about different things of how we have lost our influences and stuff in the earth. And one of the things he said, and so kind of takes solace in this, that certain things took place that were not on your watch. Amen. In other words, you may not even been born. Or you may not, been born again. So it didn't happen on your watch. But that doesn't mean that we should just lay back and forget about it. Like whenever Roe versus Wade came in, I was alive. In 1973, I was alive. Hallelujah. But I wasn't born again. And so it really didn't mean anything to me. Not really. Amen. I never gave it any thought as I should. I mean, even a natural person should look at certain things and just say, well, that's not right. That's not right for these types of things to take place. But, amen, now I know that it's not right. And now I know that I have a mandate from God to look at things differently. Amen. So let's get started with this. I've got quite a few scriptures that we're going to go through tonight, and I hope that you're all right with that. But we're going to start in Romans chapter 13. Are you there? Yes. Amen. We're going to start in verse 11. It says this, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering. I didn't know what that was, so I looked it up. It means laying around, doing nothing. Amen? Half asleep. You understand what I'm saying? Amen? And wantonness, is defined as unholy desires. Wanting things that the world wants for yourself and you and I as believers. Not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Glory to God. Amen. That's quite a bit to look at. Praise God. So I'm going to go back through it now, and we're going to kind of take it apart and look at it a little bit just in this. Let's go back to verse 11. Amen. And it says, and that knowing the time. Amen. Knowing the time. You and I as believers should know what these times are that we're living in right now. These are the days that Paul warned us about in Timothy. Amen. He said that there would be perilous times. There would be times when Jesus said men's hearts would fail them for fear. Amen. These are the times we're living in right now. I mean, just a matter of a year ago versus to what it is right now, I have never in my whole life seen anything as, you know, full of uncertainty in the world as we're living right now. Amen. I mean, so much didn't take place like we thought it should, like we thought it would. Amen. We were so sure it was going to go a certain way that for a lot of us, we just didn't pray about it anymore. We were so sure. So sure of ourselves, amen, that it was just going to happen just exactly the way we wanted it to happen. But it didn't. Amen. And now we are in some times. I mean, if you did not hold on to the word, you would be swept away with what is going on right now. Amen. Hallelujah. And so it says, and knowing the time, knowing what we're in right now. Paul says this, he says, now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Amen. The Amplified says how it is high time now for you to wake out of your sleep, to rouse to reality. Amen. You got to quit living in this dream world. There is a reality out there. Amen? And that reality is taking over. And if we don't awake out of our sleep, by the time we do hit the snooze alarm for the final time, when it just shuts itself off, it ain't going to come on no more, it'll be too late. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to get on anybody. I'm just trying to say this, that we as believers need to be believers. And we need to walk that way. Amen? And quit hiding in the shadows. Quit looking for someone else to pull us through this. Well, we're just waiting for Pastor to do it. Aren't you glad that he's the shepherd of this flock and not you or I?
That's right.
Amen? Hallelujah. But I'm telling you that there are uncertain times just for him as they are for us. And if we don't keep everything in line when it comes to ourselves, we are not going to make it like we thought we would. Amen. You got to quit living in, you know, I was thinking about that when I wrote that down, quit living in a dream world. I was thinking about the 60s. Yes, I was alive in the 60s. Amen. I was alive in the 50s. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. You remember the flower power. It says, make love, not war. You understand that? Amen. Give peace a chance. Hallelujah. All these things. Praise God. All these things that meant absolutely nothing. There was no power in it. Just a bunch of stupid words spoken by stupid people. And now those stupid people are running our government. Amen. I said, quit living in that reality and get into the real reality of where we're at. Amen. Hallelujah. It says our salvation is nearer than we thought. Amen. The return to the Lord's at hand. Because everything that's going on, that's just a prelude of what's going to take place. Do you see that? Amen. Verse 12 says that the night is far spent. Well, what does that mean? It means that the works of Satan are coming to an end. The works of Satan are coming to an end. He's playing his best hand now, right at this time. He's pulled out all the stops. And you can see this. You don't have to be, you know, a super spiritual person to understand that there's evil in the world. There's evil in our nation. Amen? Hallelujah. So he is doing his best. And then it says we got to cast that off and put on the armor of light. Amen? It's time for you and I to start to let our light shine. This is the part I'm wanting us to get to. We've got to take our place. We've got to be a light. We've got to be people who are shining out there. Amen? You don't realize, and I don't realize, how many people we pass every day that are so discouraged, so fearful, so not knowing what to do. If someone would just give them a little encouragement, it might help them to get to the next day. Amen. Amen? And so we've got to put on this armor of light. We've got to put on the likeness of our Savior. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. When Jesus came to the earth, he said, I have come to do my Father's works. Mm-hmm. Amen. In the temple, when he was 12 years old, he said, I'm about my Father's business. Well, that's the same business that you and I have been given to go and do. Do you see that? Amen. So important. So important for us to put on the armor of light. Amen. And then let's go and look at verse 14. Hallelujah. And it says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourself with his likeness. Amen. Make yourself as much like him as you possibly can. Praise God. If we put out any effort at all, we'll be better than what we were. You see that? Hallelujah. So any effort on our part to put on who Jesus is in front of other people is going to make a big difference. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's look at this in Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. We're talking about taking our place. Taking our place. Taking the place that God has given us. And let's look at this. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's start with verse 22. It says that you put off concerning the former conversation, which means just your old lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man. Do you see that? You got to put someone on. You have to take something off before you can put something else on. Do you see that? Amen. So you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You got to put on the proper garb. Amen. And as I was thinking about that, I think about a lot of stuff whenever I'm studying stuff. But I was thinking about this. If I'm out on the street anywhere, whether it's here in Evansville or back home in Honeyburg or anything like that, and I see a man or a woman dressed in blue, amen, hallelujah, they got a badge on their shirt, and they've got a gun in a holster and handcuffs, I don't have to wonder who they are. I have never asked my wife, I wonder who that is. I wonder what they do. You know why? It's obvious. They're a police person. Amen? That's who they are. Why? Because they're clothed properly. They've taken their place of authority. Amen?
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. So you don't have to wonder about who they are. You just know by looking at them. How many people know who we are by looking at us? Amen. Oh, they may see it. They may be driving down, Plaza East out here and see us coming into their church. But a lot of them would never think that they're believers or they're Christians. They just might say they're churchgoers.
Right.
Yeah. They might say that.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. And so just because they see us coming into a church building doesn't really mean anything. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to have to do something when we get into this church building. Like getting involved. Like listening to what the word is being preached. Like acting like we're alive instead of half asleep. Amen. Hallelujah. So we got to put on. We got to put on Christ. We got to clothe ourselves with Him. You got to get rid of the old man and put on the new man. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You got to assume your proper identity. Just because you carry a Bible around, just because you go in KFC and take your Bible with you and read it, do you think that's really going to impress too many people? Amen. I'm going to say probably not. And it doesn't matter how big your Bible is either. Hallelujah. Amen. It's probably not going to make a whole lot of difference. But what would happen if there was a situation in that restaurant? Somebody has a heart attack. And instead of you sitting there in your chair praying in tongues, amen, oh, Lord, help him. Oh, Lord, help him. Oh, Lord, help him. Oh, Lord, help him. Amen. And the Lord saying, why don't you help him? Why don't you help him? Oh, Lord, help him. Why don't you help him? Why don't you go and lay hands on him? Amen. Why don't you speak life into him? But, Lord, wonder if it don't work. Well, you... Have you ever thought that? Have you ever thought, you don't have to say anything, but have you ever thought, Lord, wonder if it don't work? Amen. We all have, so I'll just break the ice here. Amen. We all have. Hallelujah. Well, why is that? Well, because we're still allowing the old man, which is based in fear, amen, to still have at least a foothold in our lives. Do you see that? Amen? So we've got to lay it aside. Lay aside everything that has to do with it. Amen? There are things, whenever I think about, getting involved as a believer, getting involved in things out in the world, to me, I've been afraid of that. At times, me get, you know, or you know, God hasn't told me to do anything like this, but you know, if he would say for me to run for a political office, me? Amen. I don't think I'd vote for myself. You understand what I'm saying? It's so important for us to cast off this fear.
Yeah.
What's it say? It says that he has not given us a spirit of fear,
but
of power and love and of what? A sound mind, soundness, wholeness. Amen. A sound mind will never be afraid. Amen. Well, yeah, but I've got fear in my life right now. Are you telling me I don't have a sound mind? You don't in that area. You may be of a sound mind in a lot of areas, but there's still one area you're having problems with. So your mind's not sound there. Do you see that? Amen? Your mind's not sound there. Hallelujah. But the good thing is that it can be sound everywhere. Amen? So we got to let that light shine. Well, let's go and look at this in Isaiah chapter 60. We all know this one. But there's some things in it that I want to draw to our attention. Amen? Because if you're like me, a lot of times you'll just read it and it's really good and you don't have a, you know, but there are some phrases that I just seen this morning. And so I took my little colored crayon and started to go over them. Amen. And it says this in verse 1, arise, shine. Amen. If you arise, you'll shine. If you'll get up and make the effort, you'll shine. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. It says, for thy light is come, and the glory, here's a phrase that I highlighted, the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
You know, it talks about this in Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. The world is longing to see the sons of God, you know, the glory rise up in the sons of God. Amen. It is so important for us to understand who we are and what the world is looking for. The world is not looking at politicians to help them. They already know they can't, but they just don't know where else to turn. Amen. They just don't know that the church can help. If the church will arise and shine, if the church will make itself available. Amen? Verse 2 says this, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you. Do you see that? Even in the midst of everything that's going on in this world right now, in our nation, amen, maybe even in your own family or whatever, it says that darkness is there, but the glory of the Lord is upon you, amen, and it shall be seen upon you. Then verse 3 says that the Gentiles shall come to your light. Now, why would Isaiah say these things if it wasn't by the inspiration of God? It was. It would never be in here if it wasn't. Amen?
Amen.
And it says, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising, glory to God. And then in verse 4, it says, lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to you. Amen. Look at that. Look at the influence that Isaiah is saying that we as the people of God have. Amen. If we will just arise and shine, if we'll take our proper place, if we'll do what's right, amen. The best we know how. We're not going to be perfect, so don't worry about that. Amen. Just doing the best you can and always striving to do better. Amen. Then it says the Gentiles will come to you. Hallelujah. You may have had someone just come up to you and ask you something. I know Kay had someone come up to her one time and said, how was that? You don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe it wasn't you. No, it wasn't you. Amen. But it was me. It was me. That's who it was. When I first met her. When I first met her. Hallelujah. I thought she was different. And to be real honest, I thought she was different in a strange way.
Might still be.
She might still be. Hallelujah. But she was different. She wasn't super outgoing or super outspoken. But she carried herself away in a way that was different. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. And so that kind of drawed me to her, and the rest is history now. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm glad I didn't have to chase her too long. I might have gave up. Praise God. I don't have much lasting power in certain things. Amen. But she let me have her. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Where were we at? Oh, yes. Amen. We've got to let our light shine. Praise God. Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at that. These are all very familiar, so I'm not giving you anything that you've not seen before. Amen. But they bear repeating again. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, this is Jesus speaking to us in verse 14. He says, "You are the light of the world." Do you see that? You are the light. You are. Not you will be, but you are. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men put a light. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, listen at this. Let your light so shine. Amen. In other words, be the brightness in someone else's life. Hallelujah. It says back in verse 14, it says, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill. Well, what happens if you don't sit there on that hill? Wonder if you decide not to. I just don't want to. That's too hard to do something like that all the time. Well, then your light doesn't shine, does it? Wonder if you do put it under a bushel instead of on a candlestick. What happens then? No one sees it. No one knows. Amen? No, somebody in your life could go for years and years and years and never know that you're a believer. Amen? None of you, but, you know, it could happen that way. Amen? They wouldn't even know. Hallelujah. And so it's important for... Jesus said, "Let your light so shine." Amen. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. You've got to let your light shine. He's not suggesting. What? Try it. Just try it. Oh, come on, please. Just try it for me. Just try it once. Amen. No, he said, you do it. You've got the light of God in you now. You're born again.
That's right.
Filled with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Amen. And so we need to start doing that. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Proverbs 5:18 says this, that the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Amen. The path of the just, that's you and I. Hallelujah. We are the just. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, not by our own doings, but by Him. Amen. By His act on the cross, we are now righteous before God. And it says that we are to guide people down this path. Do you see that? Guide people down this path, praise God. Hallelujah. So we got to take our place of authority in a world of darkness. You got to be a light.
Amen.
Amen. You got to be a light. You got to show people certain things. You don't have to be, you know, pushy's not a word I'm looking for, but you don't have to be, you know, just someone who's obnoxious with it. Amen. I have seen some obnoxious Christians. Amen. Huh? Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. None of you here. There's not an obnoxious one in this room. Amen. We almost got Kenny there. He's coming in really close now. Amen. I think Pastor even likes him now. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I had to do that. I had to throw one in. Just one. Amen. Praise God. But the world needs to see us portray something. If we are seen by the world as weak, then they see Jesus as weak. Amen. They see us as a weak people serving a weak God. Amen. But yet power and grace, amen, came to Jesus and he gave it to us. Amen. All power, Acts 1:8 says, shall be given to you. Amen. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've got so much here. That's why I'm kind of still, I'm meandering around here because I got so much. I don't want to get too far away from it. Praise God. So at this time, I see the church as a whole. And I'm talking about the true church. I'm not talking about the play church, you know, or the seeker-friendly church. I'm talking about the real church. Amen. We realized what we did wrong, and we are righting the wrongs. We are repenting. We're humbling ourselves before God, just like it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Amen. We're seeking His face. Hallelujah. When we do these things, it says, then I will hear from heaven. And I will come and heal your land. Amen. Now, we've got something in this nation here that the vast majority of other nations do not have. Matter of fact, there's only two nations that have this. And that is a covenant with God. And that is the nation of Israel and the United States of America. Those are the only two. Amen. So we have an advantage. And that's why I believe that there are certain things that are happening in other nations that are not able to manifest here.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Because God is a covenant-keeping God. And He is not going to allow certain things to happen. But that doesn't mean that you and I don't have something that we need to do. For far too long, we've been just waiting around for God to do stuff. And we've let a lot of stuff slip in. Amen? So we're going to have to be people who are going to rise up and take and meet the challenge. To fight if necessary. Fight? We're supposed to turn the other cheek, aren't we? Amen. Well, how many cheeks you got? Well, I got two. Well, once they turn both of them, they start fighting. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you this. God is not against war. Amen? When it comes to what He has declared and the things that He wants done, He wants you and I to fight for Him. Amen. Hallelujah. So don't get this idea that, you know, God's just this pacifist that doesn't want to do anything. He's a fighter. Amen. And He's never lost. Hallelujah. But He is a fighter. Praise God. I want to look at this in Proverbs 28. I found this. I mean, it's been in there the whole time, but I just found it, okay? That's what I mean. Proverbs chapter 28. Hallelujah. And this brought it into reality for me in verse 4. Proverbs 28, 4. It says, "They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them." Amen? They contend with them. What does the word contend mean? It means to strive in opposition. Amen? Those who forsake the law are praised by the wicked. But it says, but you and I who keep the law have to contend with them. Contend does not mean to put up with. Contend means that we're fighting in opposition to what they're going. The direction that they're wanting to take us is the exact opposite of where we are wanting to go. Amen? And so we need to understand that we got to fight. Paul said to fight the good fight of faith, didn't he? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at this. I told you I got a lot of. Let's see. Let me just read you this one. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Amen. So people, you can look at certain things that are going on and say, how anybody in their right mind would ever agree with that? The answer is simple. They don't have their right mind. Amen. They don't have one. Amen. Because if they did, they would not go this direction. And so we've got to understand that Satan has blinded them. He does not want this glorious gospel, the light of it to shine. He doesn't want your light shining on them. Amen? And he's doing everything that he can in this last hour to see to it that it doesn't happen. But you and I have to contend. You and I have to fight. Well, I'm not a fighter. Well, you better learn how to be one. Amen? Or you're going to find yourself in a very, very difficult place. Amen? A place where there is no hope. Hallelujah. And that doesn't mean that you have to start the fight. Rally around someone who's already in the fight. Rally around those politicians who have had enough and they're saying that we're going to take our nation back. Rally around them.
Yes, amen.
Get involved with what they're doing. You don't have to make your own stand.
Come on.
You understand what I'm saying? But you and I can take up the gauntlet that someone else has already picked up and go from there. Get with them. Amen. Find out what do they need? Amen?
Yeah.
They may need something just as simple as, will you keep us in prayer?
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, I can do that. Glory to God. Amen? Hallelujah. Prayer is wonderful, but prayer is not everything.
That's right.
Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I hope I'm not making you disheartened today. Amen. Where are we going? Jude. Let's go to Jude. Hallelujah. Let's look at something here. Glory, glory, glory. 29. Are you getting anything tonight? Amen. See, it's important for us in the days that we're in right now to understand what we should be doing. We should be coming to church, absolutely. But what are we doing after we... You know, Pastor Chuck just talked about this Sunday, about, you know, being a witness. Being a witness just to your neighbor. Amen? And stuff like that. And how important that is. Being a witness doesn't mean that, you know, you have to go over there, you know, with a cross on. Amen? And a 45-pound Bible and holy water or whatever else. Amen? It just means being a witness. What's a witness? A witness is someone who shows the truth, who tells the truth. Amen? Hallelujah. There's been many people who came up to me and just said, you know, there's just something different about you. And I'm always hoping that they mean it in a good way. Amen. You never know, though. Hallelujah. But I try to keep a good witness at work. Amen. Hallelujah. I try to stay away from stuff. Oh, I've been caught up in stuff before. Don't get me wrong. Amen. And got into, you know, little coarse gesturing or whatever you want to call it. You understand what I'm saying? But I repent and I said, Lord, I should never have said that. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not cussing, okay? So don't get that crazy notion. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. Where were we at? We were in Jude, weren't we?
Yes.
All right. Let's look at this. Verse 3. Beloved, he's talking to us, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you. Now listen to this. He's talking to believers. And he said this. He said that I gave all diligence. In other words, he thought that this was so important, amen, that he felt that he should write to them about this. And not just take for granted, they knew it. Amen. There were a lot, when I was pastoring churches, there was a lot of things I just took for granted people knew. And they didn't have a clue of what it really meant. They sat there and they listened to you, and sometimes they'd smile, sometimes they'd shake their head, sometimes they'd amen, and you just take for granted they know it. Amen? But when push come to shove, they didn't know it. Amen. Things that you thought were elementary, to them, they were astronomical. Do you see that? Amen. All right, let's get back to Jude. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly. Amen. Not just with lip service and telling God you're going to do this or you're going to do that or anything. He says you need to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, why should you do this? For there are certain men crept in unawares. There are things that are going to start to creep into your life and my life if we don't keep the shield of faith up, if we don't keep on the whole armor of God, amen, there are going to be things that are going to creep in and they'll seem so innocent. Amen. And at first, that's exactly what they'll be until they show their whole true colors. And then all of a sudden, what do I do now? Amen. He said, I give all diligence that you do these things, that you remember these things. It was needful for me to speak these things to you again and again and again and again and again. And we're not going to get tired whenever Pastor Mark or Pastor Chuck or me, amen, or whoever else, and we're up here and we're beating this thing, amen, pounding our fist on the pulpit, trying to get everybody out here to understand how important this is. Oh, Pastor, that's not that big a deal. It is a big deal to God. And if it's a big deal to God, then it should be a big deal to you and me. Amen? Do you see that? Hallelujah. We've got to understand this. We've got to keep going after these things. Amen? If there's not any opposition, then we'll be moved in an ungodly direction. If we don't oppose it, well, yeah, but what if they put me in jail? Well, you'll be on TV then. Amen? And then you can tell your story if it's to the right media outlet. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. But that's what happened. We just didn't think that anything like that could happen to us in the United States. That's over there. That's over there. And the Lord showed me this. This is how he said, this is how the church was. Amen. At the beginning of World War II in 1938, whenever Hitler was invading Poland and all of these other nations, Czechoslovakia and all of them over there, amen. We knew here in the United States that there was something not right, something to be alarmed about, amen. And so President Roosevelt was trying to rally our nation to what might happen. Do you see that? What might happen? Wasn't for sure yet. Amen? But he met tremendous opposition from everywhere. People absolutely, because he was thinking about bringing back the draft. Amen? And drafting young men into the services. People absolutely were against it. They were sick and tired of war. We didn't want to get involved in World War I. President Wilson didn't want us in it. He wanted us to be an isolationist nation. That is the worst thing you could ever be. Amen. I'm just concerned about us and no more. You understand what I'm saying? They didn't want war. They didn't want to serve in a war that was over in Europe, thousands of miles away. And besides that, we had two oceans that were buffering us. Amen. And then came Pearl Harbor. All of a sudden, it all changed. All of a sudden, 2,000 or 3,000 people die in one short span of time. And it was a wake-up call. Same thing happened on 9/11. I mean, people were flocking to churches. Just going, I mean, they were, you know, they couldn't hardly contain them in the church for a while. Then everything started going back again. And the Lord showed it to me that way. He said, that is how the church was. We didn't want to get involved. We didn't think that it was going to have to be that way. We just thought God would protect us. Amen? But there's a little scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that says this. It says that we are co-laborers with God. Amen? What does that mean? That means he's not going to do it all himself. He's expecting you and I to get involved. In any place that we can, any place he is telling us. Do you see that? Amen? And so we just can't go around expecting God to do it all. If we don't show any interest in it, why should he? Amen? I mean, if we're okay with killing 60 million babies, they're all going to go to heaven. Amen. They're not lost. They're there with him now. Do you see that? Amen. But think of what we've lost out of those 60 million plus. Think of all the preachers. Think of all the doctors. Think of all the, you know, the musicians. Think of all the of all kinds of different people. Amen. That their influence was never going to be seen. Do you see that? Amen. Hallelujah. But we've got to be careful about this. Matthew 10:34. This is a very interesting scripture. Jesus said this. He said, "Think not that I am came to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." Do you see that? Amen. We just think that God is a God of peace, and he is. Jesus said that he left us his peace. But he said, "I didn't come to bring peace on the earth." He said, "I came to bring a sword. We're going to cut this thing apart." You understand? Amen. Why would not you and I want to be on the side of a proven winner? Why would we be afraid? Amen. You know, he told Jehoshaphat, he said, the battle is not yours, it's mine. Amen. He said, but you'll have to go out. And you'll have to stand. You'll have to take your place. Amen. You'll have to be there. But then you're going to see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Your enemies will be cut down. Glory to God. Amen. So we've got to be looking for opportunities to let our light shine. No matter what it might be. You might see something on TV and all of a sudden it just rises up holy indignation on the inside. And you say, that isn't right. Something's got to be done about that. Do you know, maybe you do, maybe you don't, but do you know how much influence you have whenever you call Washington, D.C. and call for the office of your national senators, your state senators? Did you know that they keep a tally of all of that and what is said and give that to them? Your representatives? Amen. Now, for all of us, that should be an easy thing because they're all godly men and women. Amen. So it's a little different for some states where they are, you know, caught up in all of this. Amen. Hallelujah. Whenever H.R. 1 was going to be looked at in the Senate, I called both of my senators and told them I was totally against it. I didn't want them to vote for it. Amen. I did not talk to them personally, okay? They can sit at their desk and field phone calls all day long. But I called them, amen, because it was the right thing to do. Amen. That little bit of information that I gave them was good. Do you see that? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Where are we at now? We're almost done. Everybody say praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. The church is supposed to be an occupying army, keeping resistance at bay. Amen. How do you do that? 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Amen? You can do that. I can do that. We as a church can do that. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. One more thing, and then we're going to close. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. I hope this blessed you. It blessed me whenever the Lord started to show this to me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. We got to realize that you may think right now that you're very unimportant, that your voice really doesn't amount to a whole lot. But I'm going to tell you right now that that is the biggest lie that the devil has ever told anyone, that you're not important, that nobody's going to listen to you, that you don't have any kind of influence. You have influence. Amen? I said, you have influence. Why is that? Because you're a believer. And a believer has authority. Amen? And we need to look at that. We need to use that authority. Amen? Hallelujah. Now let's look at this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. And we'll be closing here. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. Do you see that? By the sleight of man. People are being bounced around all over the place. Amen. They're so confused that they are in such confusion that a lie looks like the truth. Amen. By the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, that's talking about the church, the body of Christ, fitly joined together and compacted. That word compacted is just a word that means united. The church has got to get united. Amen. Now there's no divisions in this house as it is. Amen. But in denominations or even in the Word of Faith movement, amen, there's division. There's not unity. The Bible says how good it is when God's people dwell together in unity. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have got to get this together. It says, compacted or united by that which every joint supplies. So you're a joint, I'm a joint, and we have a supply. Amen. According to the effectual work in the measure of every part. So that tells me that not all parts are working up to their potential. Do you see that? Not every part, not every believer is working up to their potential. Amen. But whenever they do, it makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's good. Amen. I said that's good. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, there are prophetic words that have been given, and one of them was in this house here that Pastor Mark said that the Spirit of God told him that the year of 2021 would be a year of power. Amen. Well, So what does that mean? We're going to 440 instead of 220 here? What does that mean? Amen? No, that means that you and I as individuals are going to be endued with a greater awakening of the power that's already in us. Amen? Hallelujah. See, before you got the Holy Ghost, you didn't have the power. Then you got endued with power, and you got endued with all the power you'll ever need. But it's up to you and I to understand how to use that power. Amen? Have a revelation of what to do with it. It's up to you and I to do that. No one else can do that. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. Amen? Hallelujah. And Brother Copeland said this, that this would be a year, the year of the local church. Amen? He said a year of divine healing, divine health, divine prosperity, and divine recovery. I like that. I like that divine recovery. I've lost a lot. You've lost a lot. Our nation has lost a lot. And it's time that the local church starts to rise up and start to take back. Amen. You know, when the children of Israel left Egypt, it says that they spoiled the Egyptians. That didn't mean that, you know, they, well, do you care if I have that? No, it's they ripped it out of their hands. Stripped them, yes. Amen. And took it because it was theirs. It was their payment for all the years and years and years of labor that they did for nothing. Amen. Hallelujah. So I said all of that to say this, that it's time for the church to be encouraged in who they are. Quit being fearful. Quit being fearful that you might say the wrong thing or that you might offend someone. They're already offended, okay? You cannot offend those who are already offended. Amen. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean you have to be ridiculous and stupid. But speaking the truth, like Jesus said, in love. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.